Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And thanks to the help we get from Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, we'll help you keep it running. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's?
Busy.
Yeah, busy, busy.
You know, we're, Big Nick and I were talking yesterday. I think we're a week out right now.
We're getting vehicles done.
Yeah, which we don't like. And as you know, we're a little short-staffed right now. And we were kind of counting the numbers. And I think we figured last week went through 40 cars a day.
40 a day.
Yeah.
But I know you do such good jobs on each.
Well,
so it's not like, let's get this done no matter how we get it.
On that point, so we've all been working longer hours and making up the difference to make sure we're taking care of our customers.
But you and I were talking before, and I've talked to Dan about it, and we've talked in our home improvement show about the lack of tradespeople, the young people going in instead of college saying, hey, if you've got kind of a knack for this stuff, you can make a darn good living.
Yeah, the world is always changing.
Yeah.
And I do believe, though, there will be a focus or a shift in a lot of that our industries. You know,
but it's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while, and, you know, we've always done a good job of building up our young guys. You know, we always have a student that's kind of an apprentice.
Oh, you do?
Which we just hired another one. And then Jake, our former apprentice, kind of got promoted into being a mechanic. He's got his toolbox at the shop now, and he's under the supervision of all the guys, and he's doing great. You know, I couldn't be happier with what we have going on. Of course, I'd like to add another friend to the team to help us help more customers and such, but we've been doing this a long time, and we'll keep marching.
Well, you and Dan and the troops, you treat your people really well. I know that. That's why these people stay with you for so long.
Yeah, we have a hard we don't really know how to hire people, to be honest, because we don't really do it that often, and quite honestly, it's usually a personality fit. You need to have some fun dynamics. You know, it's not all the standard check the boxes stuff. I don't work that way, as you probably know.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, if the right person comes along and they're going to fit in with our team and let's have some fun, everybody gets paid, take care of some customers, why not?
Absolutely. So before we get into calls and text, Matt, by the way, if you do have any kind of a car care question, you can send it via text 81807. Or call us like some folks are already doing, 651-989-9226. But if you are a technician, a mechanic, and I know we have a lot of listen to the show, and maybe you're at another facility that maybe you want to change.
You know, it's this is hard to explain, but I truly believe this. There's a whole network of technicians out there, people that have been working for a business or for a place or for a person for a long time, and maybe they're looking for a new change of scenery.
Yeah.
Maybe they feel like the facility they're working at isn't accommodating their talents. Life changes. Things happen, and people kind of get bogged down. And the last thing I want, first and foremost, is people leaving the industry. You know, I think a lot of technicians get burnt out where they're at, and they just throw their arms up and they're done. Mm. And I'd rather see somebody in a place or a business that helps them succeed. You know, everybody that's ever worked at Lloyd's hasn't always been a fit. You know, we have friends out there that have gone to other places and been successful, and they're happy. And that's what ultimately I want, is for our industry to be full of capable, happy, successful technicians.
Then everybody wins.
Then everybody wins. And then the customer, too, because as the shortage happens, it gets complicated because everybody can't be a week out. If your car's broken now and you need it tomorrow, you need help. And it's hard for me because, you know, Dan and I kind of go back and forth. I'll dig us a bit of a hole from time to time and say, you know, well, I can't, you know, this person needs to get back to wherever, and we need to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just what we do.
All right, and do it well. All right, let's get down to business here. Keep in mind, Nick is going to be with us only till about 7:45 when Jack Farrell comes in. 651-989-9226. Send a text, 81807. Let's go to Bruce, who's calling from Jordan, I believe. Bruce, you're on CCO with Nick.
Yeah, good morning. I've got a 2003 Oldsmobile Silhouette with about 200,000 miles on it. And on Monday, I started losing power. So I got it to a service center, and they assumed it was the alternator, but they've been checking it every day since. It starts up fine, runs fine. So they can't completely tell me to spend the $400 or $500 and replace the alternator, but I'm just not sure what to do. They've checked the major connections, so just wondering if you'd have any advice.
You know, that's the of our jobs, that's one of the hardest things when the car doesn't want to participate. You know, people rely on their vehicles. You know, you got 200,000 miles, so obviously you rely on your vehicle to get you around the day. And when the car shows you the issues but won't show them to us, it's hard. And I agree with those folks. I'm not going to sell somebody something I can't prove. You know, if I can't say, you know, hey, Denny, the alternator's bad and here's why, I can't sell it. Number one, because what if I'm wrong? And then you've invested this money that you didn't need. And number two is like, you know, then you come back. And I don't want you coming back upset. So, you know, the truth of it is, you know, if they're not having any luck, maybe you get the car back in your possession. And we've said this tons of times over the years. Grab a notebook and a pen and jot down the little information, like it's a first drive of the morning, it's on a hot day, it's on a rainy day, any kind of drive cycle stuff that you notice that makes the vehicle act up. And not just this case, but any case, write that down, because the more information you can give us bringing the car in or to your shop or your dealership, the more information you can give them, the more likely they're going to be able to find that problem sooner, saves time and cost.
All right, very good. Good luck, Bruce. Thanks for the call. I know we have to take a break here, inviting our listeners to, don't wait, if you have any kind of a car care question, you want to talk to Nick, who is an ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And we already have texters coming in too, Nick, 81807, if that's easier for you. But let's take a break here right now on CCO 37. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, located exactly where?
Well, as you know, in the capital city of St. Paul, we're conveniently located at 982 Grand Avenue, which is just two blocks of Lexington Parkway. If you need to call us sometime, it's 651-228-1316. And if you're ever online, LloydsAutomotive.net, and that's LLOYDS Automotive.net.
Excellent. And if you are a mechanic looking for a change, and you're a good one, get a hold of you guys.
Get a hold of me. And then also, you know, you can call us. Like I said, you can also send an email, and it's easy. It's job@LloydsAutomotive.net.
Oh, all right. Very good. We might mention that before you leave today.
Trying to find ways to make it easier to get a hold of me.
That's right. Good thing to do. Speaking of easy, if you want to ask your car care question via text, 81807, do that. Or you can call us, 651-989-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will be out of here just about 7:45. So don't wait if you need some help. All right, there was a text that came in earlier this morning, Nick, and I think I've talked to some folks about this, they wonder about electric cars. And this particular text, let's see if I can find it to be specific. How do electric cars provide heat in the winter? With electricity, I presume.
Yeah, well, exactly. There's a heat element that they use, that battery source, to charge and to create heat. So that's one. It's a little bit complicated with electric cars, maybe in our climate. You know, that range that you get is going to be lower here, especially in the winter months, simply because of that. So keep that in mind. It's a cool technology. And I know people always say, oh, electric cars, what's going to do to your business? You know, they had points in carburetors not that long ago, and we're still here. And it's never going to end, you know, and it's just another facet of what we're doing. Efficiencies, emissions, all that stuff is good stuff. It's exciting stuff, you know, the technology. And that's what, you know, we talk about hiring people and young people. And, you know, the industry is not just the grease monkey anymore. You know, the cars have evolved so much, and there's so much computer programming. There's so much electronics involved, and it's a lot of fun. It really is.
And there's a lot of hybrid cars out there, too.
You know, that's like, you know, my opinion, that's the best thing. You know, the electric cars are fine. I'm not sure about our climate, but the hybrid car is taking both technologies and making the most of them, and I think that's really cool.
Very good. 651-989-9226. Let's see. Okay. Let me get closer to here. I have a 2012 Mazda 3 Skyactiv with 57,000 miles. Is it better to flush and fill the radiator or just change the fluid?
It depends, of course. You know, it's sometimes, depending on the vehicle, the full flush gets a little complicated. There's a lot of spots for air to get caught up in, or if you have a diluted solution, it gets a little complicated. There's exchangers, which is a piece of equipment you connect, and it essentially cycles through all the fluid. That's very thorough and very accurate. But quite honestly, I think in most situations, if you drain the radiator, which is probably half of the capacity, and refill it, that's sufficient. It's kind of gone the same way with transmissions. You know, we used to pull the pan down and change a filter, and not all vehicles are equipped quite like that any longer. We used to do flushes, and the same thing there. Not all vehicles are exactly equipped that way, and oftentimes it's the same idea of a drain and fill, where you end up, you know, pulling out 3-4 quarts and refilling it, and if you do that on a regular schedule, it's just as good.
Back in, quote, the old days, and I don't know how many cars even have them anymore, because like you said, and Dan's talked about, a lot of these new transmissions, you don't even bother with. I mean, you don't even change. You used to have like a dipstick to check the transmission fluid years ago.
It's not just transmissions. A lot of new vehicles, the engine doesn't have a dipstick either, which, you know, for us people in the world and those have been around, don't like that.
I don't like
it
either.
I'm not trusting anybody to tell me that my tires are full, my transmission and my engine oil are full and clean, but technology, it's good, though, because, you know, a lot of these people are so busy and they have so much going on, you sometimes need a little bell or whistle to ding it to tell you're low on oil or you got a low tire. I know.
No, it's true, because I remember I had a car briefly, well, for about a year or so, that had no dipstick. And I'm looking, it took me a half hour to realize that. Then you got to read the manual and say, hey, dummy, there's no dipstick.
And then you had to sell the car.
I did. I just had to get rid of it.
That's all right.
I tell you what, I know, let's do this. Mark in Plymouth is on the horn. We'll pick up your call right away, Mark, so don't go away. We have texters coming in too, Nick, so why don't you stand by? We'll pick up on more Car Care Talk here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, filling in for Dan, of course, as he does a lot. Nick, let's go to the phones. Mark in Plymouth has been waiting. Mark, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Hey there. I've got a 2007 Nissan Pathfinder. The oxygen sensor went out probably about 2 years ago. We've done the seafoam in the gas tank that seemed to get the light to drop. We've had the dealer wants $500. I'm gonna keep the truck probably for another 4 years. It's got about 140,000 miles on it. Is it worth doing the $500 oxygen sensor at the dealer? It seems to be it's a lot of effort to get to that sensor. Does that seem about right? Is it worth it?
Yeah, the issue, an oxygen sensor is an important input to the computer system. It helps the vehicle determine how rich or lean it's operating. So fuel efficiency, maybe some starting issues, especially winter months, the fact that the light is on. I would say it is an important replacement. I don't know the cost, honestly. I don't remember what the labor time on that particular job is. You're more than welcome to get a second opinion. You check with the dealer. You can check with another person in your town there. Maybe there's some difference in labors. I would always stress, though, you should use the original equipment quality part, you know. So whoever made that sensor initially, you should replace it with the same brand for sure. But there might be some savings to be had. So fix it, maybe get a second price quote, and then move forward from there.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Texters, we have a few of those I want to tackle here before you leave. By the way, Nick will be here till about 7:45 this morning, a few more minutes. Planning to buy, Texter says, a small or mid-sized SUV. What are the pros and cons of all-wheel drive? Maybe we should talk a little bit about all-wheel drive, because all-wheel drive is not real four-wheel drive, right?
Is that
fair to say?
Well, it's fair to say, but you don't need four-wheel drive. I mean, if you have a pickup truck and you're doing some
snow plowing or something.
Plowing and some, you know.
Like
some,
you.
Doing some other things with it. But also, it might be hard-pressed in our climate to find one of those SUVs that's not all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It's very common. They've worked really hard on that technology, so it doesn't hurt the fuel economy like it used to. And, you know, honestly, in the winter months, You drive a late model vehicle, it's all-wheel drive. You're just driving right through the snow, as long as you're cautious, of course. Mm. But you won't have any issues.
How does that work now? If a vehicle is usually front-wheel drive most of the time.
So there's a whole variety of versions, but yeah. You know, most common what it is like you're driving along with your drive wheels, and then the other wheels are there in support, and then on demand.
So it's either rear or front as far as...
Oh, it's usually front.
Yeah, okay.
But then as there's any slipping or any kind of action or anything needed, you have that secondary push to keep you stable.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it's the way the world evolves.
So pros and cons, you're okay with it?
Oh, absolutely. In our climate, honestly, I don't know why you would try to... Find an SUV that's not all-wheel drive, and I'm not sure what the savings of monies are, but if you're buying a new vehicle and you're going to drive it for 10 years, it's worth the money for sure.
Very good. Let's see. Who's next here? What I have, Texter says, a 2008 Chrysler PT Cruiser. As I drive it, the lights constantly flicker. I put in a new alternator and no change. What do you think?
If the lights are flickering, obviously there's some sort of connection issue or some sort of control of that alternator, you know, whether it's something with the regulator, something with the computer, whatever component manages that part might have a fault in it or a bad ground. So what we need to do is figure out where that source of power is lacking. So if it's somewhere in the wiring diagram, if it's a ground connection, something at the battery, a little time in a voltmeter, someone should be able to dissect that though.
Had a texter said, thank you so much for this wonderful show. Great information. I'm curious here, she says, what type of car do you drive and enjoy driving? In other words, what car do you own? You kind of alluded to the truck.
Yeah. So it's, you know, people ask us all the time, what kind of car should I buy? And it's based on your needs. You know, if you've worked your whole life, you've worked hard and you want to go splurge, go do it. You know, I personally have a big old pickup that gets bad gas mileage. it's a 4-door truck, but I have 3 young kids. And at the plow snow. So on my needs, I need a big truck to plow, and I need the capacity to move my family around. Not everybody's in the same boat as I am. So whatever your needs are, pick one or two cars that you like. Don't overwhelm yourself. Go drive both of them, and then pick one.
Very good. Now, how often do you change? I don't think I've ever asked you this. How often do you change oil in that truck?
Every 5,000 miles.
Because you're using synthetic, I presume.
I use Mobil 1.
Okay. Very
Always
good.
Have. It's kind of my deal.
Let's see. Texter says, should the pressure be different in the winter when adding air to tires?
A very common issue as temperatures cool, those tire lights start coming on. And with the change in temperature, the tires will relax a little bit. You might lose a little bit of air. The pressures will adjust. You know, we always joke about winter air. But it is true. So once things cool down and you can readjust those pressures back up to where the door placard says, or if you want to go a pound or two heavier just to be safe, that's not a problem. But you will have to do that, yes.
Explain that door thing, because I did that recently with my car, as far as checking what's the cold temp, right?
Correct. So as you open the driver's door of the vehicle, on that pillar there, the B pillar they call it, there will be a placard that's attached, and it'll talk about the tire size, the rating, and also talk about the pressure, as you said, at cold. So it might say 32 PSI cold, 36 PSI cold. And it might be different front to rear. So look at that and then adjust your tires accordingly. You do have a little wiggle room. So if you want to add a couple pounds, that's fine. But if you get too far out of the range with the tires, you might have a tire light. So be careful on that.
Texter says, I drive an SUV with front wheel drive and use winter tires.
Another fine option. You know, keep in mind you're going to end up remounting and balancing or rotating those tires a couple times a year, so there's some cost there. You know, even with some of the newer sedans, with those lower profile tires that we've talked about, even with an all-wheel drive vehicle, in some cases people still get a second set of wheels and tires for the winter season to give them better traction.
We have now tires seem to be the theme here in the texters. Should we run nitrogen in tires?
There's some good science behind that. It is probably better. There is quite a bit of nitrogen in the air naturally. The reasoning is the pressures don't change as much with the temperature. It's the oxygen that creates that change in pressure. But it costs additional money to get that only nitrogen air, and you have to find a place or an outfit that's doing that. I don't think it's necessary. If it's something that you want to make sure your pressures are always right on, it's not a bad option. It's just something we don't offer because I don't think it's necessary.
All right. Now, what happened, I've seen you guys do this, in fact, in my own vehicles. In the wintertime, when you're only 10 below, whatever the case is, and those tires get low, or there's one tire that's constantly losing air, dropping, there's a method of cleaning that thing up, the rim, the wheel.
Absolutely. So another issue we have in our climate is with winter months, we use salt and different things on the roads, and those materials create corrosion. So, you know, the painting system on cars is much better than it ever has been. If you remember 20, 30 years ago, sure, cars would rust out. Now, not such an issue, but we still have issues with those wheels, those alloyed wheels. You get a little bit of ice and slush and snow with some salt mixed in between the tire bead and the wheel itself, and it corrodes. Well, when it corrodes, it kind of bubbles up and allows for air to leak out. So essentially what needs to be done is you remove the whole wheel assembly from the vehicle, separate the tire, you grind down all that corrosion, put a paste on there to kind of help preventative. It's not bulletproof, but preventative, and reassemble it to kind of fix that leak. It is a big deal, though. If you keep ignoring that and keep letting it get low, that will damage the tire. So even if there's good tread there, if that sidewall gets compromised,
that's true,
you end up buying a new tire. So don't think, I'll just add air every week and just avoid it, because at some point that's going to create a bigger problem for you.
I know we have to run. If somebody wants to get in touch with you guys at Lloyd, whether it be a mechanic wants a change in his or her career, or a customer.
So ways to get hold of us quickly here. If you're in St. Paul, like I said, we're at the corner of Grand and Chatsworth at 982 Grand Avenue. If you ever want to call us sometime here at 651-228-1316. If you're on your computer there, your device, it's lloydsautomotive.net, and that's LLOYDS. And if you're looking for a job, you can email me at job@lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll be back next week. More Car Care. All right, Nick?
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.